it's not even for us today, but I've come to tell you that Jesus Christ said, it's for whosoever will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! Simon Peter preached this gospel. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, it's unto your children, it's those that are far off. Listen, not only in distance, but in time. It's those that are far off, 100 years from then, 200 years from Calvary, 1,000 years from Calvary. Now, 2,000 years later, the Holy Ghost is still being poured out. People are still being filled with the power of God. And before you leave here today, you can have the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon you. Oh, come on, tell somebody next to you, it's for you. Woo! Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Gonna be done in 20 minutes. Now, God might take longer, but I'm gonna be done in 20 minutes. If God takes longer, I'll just go along for the ride. We'll preach the word, and we're gonna open up this altar for those that would like to receive this power into your life, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And then if you haven't been baptized, Lord, I don't know how. We just gave out 30 certificates. But if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, if somehow you missed it 2 weeks ago and missed it last week, this is a brand new week. Same God today that was here last week. Same power, same anointing, same blood. We got a baptistry right around the corner right there, ready to go. I'm excited we're able to just go right outside and watch everybody get baptized. Thank God for revival. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. Now somebody say, flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the word of the Lord. But ye are not in the flesh, but, everybody say, in the spirit. Now look at this. Everyone say, if. Tell your neighbor, that if is a big word. It's a therefore of previous. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Tell your neighbor you need the Holy Ghost. Oh, but Pastor, that didn't say that. It's about to. We're not done with it. Now, if any man have what? Not. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ. Uh-oh. He is none of his. You see, you don't become a part of Christ by joining a church. You don't become a part of the body of Christ by signing a card. And even though confession is certainly the first step, you don't become a part of Christ just by confessing. Now, you can't get in Christ without confessing, but once you confess, the Bible says the only way you can be a part of Him is if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So tell your neighbor and say, we're not talking about an option here. We're talking about, what's the other word? Requirement? Necessity? mandatory. When you go buy a car, honey, the engine's not optional. And if it is, you got ripped off. Verse number 10. If Christ be in you, what's he talking about? What he just talked about in verse 9. The Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there's only one Spirit. There's not three, there's only one. So whether you call it the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, it's still talking about the same power, the same promise. There ain't three people in you. There's only one. Verse 10 says, now let me see it in just a second. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Honey, not only do I want Christ in me, I want to go in the rapture. I want to get to heaven. And the only way that's going to happen is if I have the Holy Ghost inside of me. Let's clap our hands and give God praise. Somebody send up a praise to the Lord. Lord, anoint your word, anoint your word, anoint your servant. Have your way today, God. Pour out the power. Somebody shout the anointing. Breaks the yoke. Shout the anointing. Breaks the yoke. Shout Jesus. Break. Every yoke. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Stir up some anointing. Woo! Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now that didn't count. That's not part of my 20 minutes. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world. He so loved the world, the word of the Lord tells us he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody stops right there and say, see, preacher, the word of the Lord says all I got to do is believe in Christ. Wait a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want to give you a little bit of word to go with it. Jesus said, if you believe in me, as the scripture have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The reason why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Because the Bible knows true believers are going to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. As you confess him, as you cry out to him, as you believe in him, his power will come down upon you and saturate your soul. Hallelujah. That's not my opinion, that's Bible. One thing you will find, my opinion stinks, but God's word is always true. So if I can stay in the book today, we'll be all right. It is God's and has been God's eternal purpose from the beginning of the blessings of the nations, from the time of the fall of Adam. He spoke into the life of Adam and into the life of Eve. I will bless the world through your seed. It's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush the head of Satan. That's the beauty about having the Holy Ghost, especially in our generation. I might get bruised up by the devil a little bit, but if I've got the Holy Ghost, when the battle's over, I might be bruised, but he's going to be crushed. Oh, you don't believe that. Come on, somebody. We might get a little bruise on the heel, but when the battle's over, the devil is going to be crushed in our life. God bless you, sister. It has been his eternal purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, God has always intended to save you. It's evident by the promise he made to Abraham many generations ago in Genesis 12 and 3. The word of the Lord says, in thee, speaking of Abraham, in thee shall all families or nations of the earth be blessed. The seed that started back with Adam and Eve made its way through. God calls Abraham out and he says, through your seed, Abraham, through the promised seed of Abraham. And when we study the word of God and we follow the lineage, we quickly come to the conclusion that this promise that he was talking about, this promised seed, was none other than the Messiah, none other than Jesus Christ himself, none other than God manifested in the flesh, seen of the Gentiles, of the angels, believed on in the world, received up into glory, the seed of the promise. You sound like you're dying on me. Don't die on me. Clap your hands to the Lord. Keep it alive. Keep it alive. And we just came back from Touch the Future. Wow, what a conference. Where's Brad? Right here on the front row. Stand up, Brad. Brad was one of the young ministers that was chosen to speak, and I know, I'm prejudiced. I know he's from us, but I'm just here to tell you, the most powerful anointing rested upon this young man while he spoke at TTF. Because he spoke from here and not from here. And that's what we teach our kids. You get it, you can get it in here, but it better come out of here. Work it on up in the brain, but you better get it down in the heart. And when you open your mouth, it better come out from the heart. It needs to be full of passion and love. While we were there at TTF, one of the preachers that were speaking or teaching, he talked about the importance of the response of the congregation. And he said, the reason why it's important is because our guests, they know I believe what I'm saying. I'm getting paid to say it. They're not sure about you. And if you sit there like this, while the preacher's preaching, they're going to begin to wonder. I wonder if this Holy Ghost thing's real. I wonder if that preacher's out of his mind. Don't look like nobody else believes him. Oh, I know that's not so here. I know that, but I'm just trying to tell you the importance of responding to the Word of God. We want everybody to know we believe what's being preached because it's the Word of God. Jesus Christ was that promised seed that was spoken of by God all the way from Adam and Eve, made its way into Abraham through the generations of time, that made its way down the blood card on through time, all the way into the womb of Mary. John chapter 7 verse number 37, the word of the Lord tells us how these nations would be blessed through this man called Christ. It says, listen, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, praise team, for your anointing today. But this he spake of the Spirit,
which they that believe on him should receive of the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But I'm here to tell you, he's already died, he's already been buried, and he's already been glorified. And the Holy Ghost has been poured out. And if you will believe today, the Holy Ghost will be poured out on you. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Ghost is for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. The promise of the Holy Ghost didn't begin in the New Testament. God didn't make this up in the New Testament. This was something that has been prophesied through time. I may not read all of these scriptures, but let me read a few of them. Proverbs 1 and 23. Turn you in my reproof, the Lord said. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 32 and 15. Until the spirit be poured upon us from on high. Isaiah 44 and 3. I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty. The floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessings upon thy offspring. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Job 2 and 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men will dream. Your young men will see visions. Look at Hebrews 12 and 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I will write. Don't you understand? This has been coming a long time. This has been coming a long time. This has been prophesied, pushed through the time, through the ages of the patriarch. And now today, in this building, it's culminating upon you, upon your heart, upon your spirit. The power of God has come to infuse itself with you. Somebody worship. Somebody worship. Somebody shout, Holy Ghost. Jesus walked with his disciples, and they were glad to have him. Can you imagine walking with Jesus? Come on, Jesus. Just walk, but we don't have a, it's not a long ways to Jericho, so take your time. Yeah. You imagine you take a few steps, and then a blind man somehow busts through the crowd, and he cries out.
You're a blind man crying out. Jesus! Jesus!
You have a destination, right? And you're walking with your Savior. A blind man busts through the crowd. Jesus stops for a couple of minutes. Huh? You know.
What would you have me do?
Yeah. Now they probably thought that was a little crazy until the blind man said,
I see.
I see. Okay, go on, get a job, blind man. Yeah, yeah. Don't go tell nobody, but leave. We'll make a few more steps. Next thing we know, a Dad busts through the crowd. Come on, David. Makes his way, busts through, throws himself down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he says, my son.
You got a sick son. Yes, my son is sick.
I don't know.
Okay.
So, this is one we offer to go.
I'll come and heal him.
Just speak the word.
And we go, speak the word. And Jesus says, no greater faith. But before the man got home, his servant came out and said, thy son was healed at such and such hour. And the man realized, whoo, come on now. Every step he was healing and delivering. But now they come together and Jesus is talking to them. And he starts at verse 7.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. That I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
And in another place he said, I'm now with you, but I shall be in you. My God, have mercy. What Jesus is trying to say to his disciples, you need more than just a knowledge relationship. You need an intimate experience of my power. I've come to preach to somebody today. I know you know him. I know you read about him. I know you pray to him. But the Holy Ghost says today, you need me on the inside, that I can lead you into all truth, all knowledge, an intimate relationship with God. The disciples could not comprehend it. It was mind-blowing to them. Don't leave us, Jesus. Peter said, I'm not going to let it happen. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Peter, you don't know what you're saying. I've got to go away so I can send my spirit. Because when the spirit comes back, you're going to do greater things. You're going to know greater things. You're going to see greater things with my Holy Ghost. Give me a Bible. I know you know him. I understand you read about him. I'm not taking that from you. I loved God years before I got the Holy Ghost. I remember as a little Baptist boy, and I'm not picking on nobody. If you're Baptist, God bless you. A little Baptist boy, 6, 7, 8 years old, I'd come to the altar and I'd weep. Oh, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord, of the cookie I stole. Forgive me for the way I talked back to my mama. Lord, I love you. And I'd leave there so clean, but I'd go back into a world of sin. 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old. Now I'm on drugs. Things are horrible. Things aren't right. I remember one time I made a trip to the altar at that little Baptist church, and I know the preacher meant well, but he came up to me and he knelt down beside me. He said, son, you're in this altar every weekend. And I'm listening to him.
He said, you're in this altar every weekend. He said, listen, I don't want you coming back to this altar next week. He said, because once you're saved, you're always saved. And you just need to believe that God's with you and everything's going to be okay. It was my last day ever in that church. Because if I can't go to your altar, why am I coming to your church? Listen, I knew him. My mother taught me about him. We would come home from school and she would make us sit down and we couldn't go out and play. We couldn't do our homework. My little blind, crippled mother made us read a chapter out of the Bible to her. And even though she couldn't see, we knew we had to pay attention because when we were done, she was going to ask questions. And if we couldn't answer the question, we were reading another chapter. So we learned to pay attention when Mama had us read. She raised us in church the best she could. I love this man called Jesus. I loved him. I spent long hours in an altar. But I remember one day I got invited to a church that believed in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I made my way in that church and I sat down. I remember when the altar call was given. It was the same conviction I got in the Baptist church. Because it's the same Spirit calling me. But this time when I made my way down to that altar, there was a liberty there to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I lifted my hands and the Holy Ghost came into me, my life changed forever because I went from knowing him in there to knowing him in here. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. And Jesus loves you so much. He called you to this place today because he knows you love him. He knows you pray to him. And he's come here today to begin an intimate relationship with you. Clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody give praise to the Lord. Let's praise him for a moment. Praise him for a moment. He said, I got to go away because I want to send my spirit back to you. Music come. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. The former trustees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Here it is. But wait for the promise of the Father. Do you know who he's talking to? He's talking to the men that rubbed shoulders with him. He's talking to the men that didn't read his sermons. They heard them with their own ears. They were buddies with Jesus. They watched him heal and deliver. He gave them power. They went out and cast out devils. Watch me now. In Luke 24:43, it's not in my notes, but The Bible says in 43 to 47 in those scriptures, the word of the Lord speaks to his disciples, and the Bible says he opened their understanding. He opened their brains. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, and as yet with you all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of the Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. Then opened their intellect. Why? That they might understand the scriptures. Let me just insert this for you. It's not my place or your place to interpret the New Testament. It's my place and your place to obey it. He said, but Jesus said, go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who did he say that to? His disciples. Right before he ascended, he opened their understanding. How did they baptize? In the, Acts 2:38. In the name of Jesus. Repent, be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8, is it 16? Is it in there? Acts 8:16 is not in the Bible. For yet it fell upon none of them, only they were. Acts 10:43. He's coming, 43. To him give all the promises and the witness through his name. Whosoever believeth in him shall not shall receive a remission of sins. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them which heard the word. 45. We're getting there. And they are the circumcision which believe astonished many as came up with the eater, because that all the Gentiles poured out to get to the Holy Ghost. 46. Well, they heard them speak with tongues about the Father. Peter, 47. Can any man forbid one of these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as thee? 48. And he commanded them to be baptized. How? They had the understanding. Not the Pope. Not Billy Graham. Not you. Not your pastor. The disciples. They understood the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they obeyed. Now, wait a minute. You be seated. I want to show you the importance of the Holy Ghost. So they walk around with Jesus. Miracles and teachings and signs and wonders. And then right before he ascended, he opened their understanding of the scriptures. But then as he was going up, he said, oh, by the way, go tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from on high. He said, go tarry. Another place he said, go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. What promise was he talking about?
Good to see y'all. It's good to see you.
He said, wait for the promise of the Father. What promise? The promise he gave Eve. The promise he gave Adam and Sarah. The promise that he spoke through the prophets of the patriarchs through time. The promise that Joel talked about when he said, in the last days, saith God, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He told his disciples who had understanding of Scripture, don't do anything until you get my spirit. Because this is not enough. The Bible says, ever learning. He wasn't talking about science. Ever learning. Never coming to the knowledge of truth. You know why? Jesus told us just a few minutes ago when he was reading. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send back my spirit. And my spirit will lead you into all truth. The Spirit of Christ has a way of taking what's in here and combining it to what's in here and causing you to walk in righteousness, both in your thinking and in your understanding and in your heart. Let's stand to our feet. I want us to lift our hands. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. Just for a moment, every mind on God.